In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to continue now in this theme of preaching in adversity. What we're going to do now, right now, is look at parts of the motu proprio of Porta Fidei, which began this year of faith. And I'm going to just comment on part of it and perhaps move to some other documents as well. This text starts off, the door of faith, which is a quote from Acts 14:27, when Paul and Barnabas are reporting to the council at Ephesus, at Jerusalem, and saying how God opened for the Gentiles the door of faith. Is always open for us, this door, ushering us into the life of communion with God and offering entry into His church. It is possible to cross that threshold when the Word of God is proclaimed and the heart allows itself to be shaped by transforming grace. Now, there's a deep principle being applied here, you see. Preaching is very different from teaching, even if we're discussing the same content. Preaching is a way that the faith of the preacher impresses itself on the faith of the listener. And that has to be, therefore, a faith experience. So that a primary obligation of the preacher is to experience the realities about which he's speaking. That's the primary goal. And some of the papal documents will tell us that the primary role of the priest is to preach, because he's the assistant to the bishop, whose primary role is to preach. It's that important, to be announcing the divine truth in a way that people can take it in, live by it, be changed by it, and ultimately be saved by it. And that's why it's such an important dimension of the priesthood. And why it's insisted upon in this very document so much, the preaching, you see. So I'm going to go on. I'm going to comment on some lines in the document, we'll go along that way. The Pope goes on there to say, it is possible to cross that threshold, the Porta Fidei, when the Word of God is proclaimed, and the heart allows itself to be shaped by transforming grace. So the instrumentum, and it is, as Benedict XVI pointed out, this is a quasi-sacramental function. The word is a sacramentum. And the deliverer of that word should be delivering it sacramentally, not in one of the seven signs instituted by Christ, but in that sense that this speech is an instrument of the Holy Spirit to impress the faith reality on the spirits of those who are listening. That is what preaching is. It's not information. It's not teaching. It's not even coaxing. It's certainly not taking up a collection, which you have to do that once in a while anyway. But when we're preaching, it's this function, you see. It is possible to cross that threshold of faith when the Word of God is proclaimed and the heart allows itself to be shaped by transforming grace. And so the preached word is, as Pope Benedict said in another place, it's a sacrament, where it has a sacramental dimension to it. The next line of that text is, it is through that door to enter through that door is to set out on a journey that lasts a lifetime. It begins with baptism, through which we can address God as Father, and it ends with the passage through death into eternal life, fruit of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, whose will it was, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, to draw those who believe in him into his own glory. That's the invitation. So, you see, this door of faith is nourished, opened, kept open, and entered by faith. And that's our primary job, you see, is to deliver the Word of God in a way that is assimilable by our people. And that's why it's faith to faith. And this is very important because, you know, I was a professor all my life and I was a preacher all my life. And as my life went on, I began to realize, even if I'm, you know, teaching Ephesians 5 on Friday morning at the classroom and doing it Saturday at a wedding, it's a different function. It's not totally different. I certainly want, if I have a faith grasp of the Ephesians, that my students get it too. But preaching is that faith function by which what I know by faith is used by the Holy Spirit to impress itself on the audience, on the people there. And that's why he's starting the way he does, you see, with preaching. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. It is to profess faith in the Trinity, you see. It is to believe in one God who is love, the Father, who in the fullness of time sent his Son for our salvation, Jesus Christ, who in the mystery of his death and resurrection redeemed the world. The Holy Spirit, who leads the church across the centuries as we await the Lord's glorious return. Now, what Pope Benedict is describing here is the function. You see, that's how the door of faith opens and stays open. Ever since the start of my ministry as successor of Peter, I have spoken of the need to rediscover the journey of faith so as to shed ever clearer light on the joy and renewed enthusiasm of the encounter with Christ. And there we have again the whole point of this year of faith, right? Encountering Christ. And as many have pointed out, this is one of Benedict's definitions of baptism in the Spirit, the encounter with Christ. And it, I've been in the renewal since 1967, and we used to speak this way. It's coming to know Christ experientially, know him, which is a work of faith. And the Lord bestowed this on the Catholic Church to fill out and stabilize the fruit of the Vatican Council. It's just not documents to read, you see. And so he ends, then, the Holy Spirit who leads the Church across the centuries as we await the Lord's glorious return. In other words, this door, this gate of faith is opened by the Holy Spirit, who uses the words of the preacher to open the door. He goes on in this letter, ever since the start of my ministry as successor of Peter, I have spoken of the need to rediscover the journey of faith so as to shed ever clearer light on the joy and renewed enthusiasm of the encounter with Christ. And there we have that phrase again, the encounter with Christ. To meet Christ. So that if somebody says, do you know Jesus Christ? You say, yes, of course I do. So he said in the inaugurating mass of his whole pontificate, the Church as a whole and all her pastors, like Christ, must set out to lead people out of the desert toward the place of life, toward friendship with the Son of God, toward the one who gives us life and life in abundance. Now, this is the purpose of preaching and preaching in adversity. It's to bring people to a deeper level of their own experience of life and of reality, so that the deepest thing they know is Jesus Christ. Then they're ready for all the bewildering, difficult things that modern life on the globe bring to us and seem to bring in greater number and intensity. And so preaching is the way that people have an experiential faith. And as I said already, I quoted him, but you see, it means to be baptized in the Spirit means to know what we have received in baptism and confirmation, to know it. Now, this notion of an experiential faith was not part of the normal Catholic life until after Vatican II. We had saints and we had remarkable people who, I can remember some who came to give us retreats, and you knew that they knew what they were talking about. And that's not just instruction, you see, that's preaching. And so, then he goes on to say, you see, but we can't take that for granted, nor the environment for granted. If you grew up in a kind of a Catholic part of a city or a neighborhood, a lot of this was taken for granted. Well, it's not anymore. And it is so necessary for the church to be the place of knowledge of God. It has to be. So he says here, whereas in the past it was possible to recognize a unitary cultural matrix broadly accepted in its appeal to the content of faith and the values inspired by it, today this no longer seems to be the case in large swaths of society because of a profound crisis of faith that has affected many people. Little by little, people retreated from that kind of faith. And then the weakness of where the church really was exposed. When Vatican II burst upon the scene, people weren't ready for it, didn't know what to do with it, and it was exploited by a lot of people who were not really preaching the gospel. So, our Lord, he goes on, alluding to a text in Matthew, we cannot accept that salt should become tasteless or the light be kept hidden. The people of today, and notice what he says, can still experience the need to go to the well like the Samaritan woman in order to hear Jesus, who invites us to believe in him and to draw upon the source of living water welling up within him. We must rediscover a taste for feeding ourselves on the Word of God, faithfully handed down by the Church, and on the bread of life offered as sustenance for his disciples. Now, this is going to be the theme, and I'll continue in the next section to work on that.